Welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I am sitting here today with Nancy Davis and Laura Ness, both of whom are from the Portland Ballet, and they are here to talk about their organization and also to talk about a recent trip they took to the Dominican Republic. So thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and I have to say, Lauren's a high school senior at Wilson High School, so you're doing this type of traveling. It must be very exciting.
Really exciting. Not most kids get to do at my age.
So. Right. And how long have you been studying at the Portland Ballet?
This is going to be about my fourth year.
And I know, Nancy, that you can tell us more about the Portland Ballet and how it began, and because you co-founded it with your husband.
Yes.
And about the types of programs that you offer, including a professional track like the one that Lauren is on.
Yes, we opened the Portland Ballet in June of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Lane was a former partner of mine with the Los Angeles Ballet. We were both principal dancers there. And when we moved up to Portland, Jim was actually doing something very different from ballet. He was in the telecommunications business, and I was teaching in various schools. But it had always been a dream of ours to open our own academy and have a professional, pre-professional program and a performing company for the students as well as pre-professional dancers. So that's our youth company that we have. And so it was a dream of ours. And when we moved up to Portland, and it was probably, I want to say, we moved up in 92, so 9 years later, after Jim was just really kind of tired of being in the telecommunications business, we thought, you know, we ought to try to find a building and put a business plan together and launch a new school in the Portland area. I had built a very strong following amongst students in the area. I had sublet a space in Lake Oswego and had become pretty darn well known in the studio, so that was kind of a catalyst for us starting our own business. But anyway, we were having dinner at Salvador Molly's in Hillsdale, driving down the hill, and we saw this empty space, and being from sunny Los Angeles, to see these big, the doors you see at a fire station, they're all glass, and so it looked very light and bright inside. It had been empty, we found out, for a couple of years. Very casually, the owner had it up advertised as for lease. We went next door, since nobody was around, to a pharmacy, and we said, you know, we're interested in this space. What do you know about it? Can you put us in touch with the owners? So anyway, long story short, because I could go on for an hour about this, he put us in touch and with the owners, a husband and wife team, and they loved the idea of having a ballet school there. They were in the midst of this whole renovation of the area, beautification of Hillsdale, and they actually own the side of the street that we have our studios at, and then part of the other side, and so they are very much in charge of what's going on, and they were in the midst of this beautification of Hillsdale, and they thought, we want to give back to the community how wonderful to have a ballet school, because we thought, you know, a restaurant, that makes them a lot of money, and, you know, ballet schools are not known for making lots and lots of money, you don't get in this business to make lots and lots of money, typically. And so anyway, I guess the rest is history. It took us about a year to renovate the space. And yeah, we opened June of 2001. And at that point, we had a summer intensive in place. And our curriculum program for the next fall was in place. Didn't have our youth company component yet, but knew that these kids are going to want to perform, so we need to get that together as soon as possible. So by the fall of the next year, 2002, we did an in-house holiday performance, but then it was 2003 that we did Enchanted Toy Shop, which we've done for years. And we brought our former boss here, John Clifford, to stage this brand new ballet. We thought, everybody does Nutcracker, let's do something different. So that was the launch of our holiday classic, our equivalent to the Nutcracker.
And that was 2003?
2003.
And so you were you born yet? I'm just curious.
I know, really. I'm dating myself.
Yeah, I know. I thought, yeah. I wonder if Lauren was born. Were you?
98.
98, okay. You're just a little tiny baby.
Yes. So anyway, our enrollment got better and better, and we were more known in the community. Our dancers were getting into good programs around the country. So we were really establishing ourselves and outgrowing our space.
Mm.
So in 2014, we nearly doubled our space.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we got our landlord behind us.
Same location?
Yes, at that time she had lost her husband. So we were working with Artie. And we did a survey in the neighborhood. We've got Starbucks there, Paloma there, we've got Pizzicato, Papa John's, lots of different businesses, Subway, and Food Front. And so we did it to really give ourselves a strong case. We did a survey to show her that these businesses are frequented by our parents because they're captive for an hour and a half to
right.
2 hours, mm-hmm. Before like Lauren drives, of course. But for our younger students, so we bring a lot of business to that community. So that was incentive for our landlord to help us financially with our expansion. We couldn't have done it without her.
Oh, that's
so,
such a great partnership. And I think, I think about that often just in regard to the various companies where I work. You know, how do we connect with the surrounding businesses? Because we're actually very helpful and supportive to each other.
Right.
You know, it's exciting.
So we become kind of an anchor. And so, yeah, doubling our space meant that we can do a lot more. And meanwhile, Anne, so at that point we still didn't have the career track
mm-hmm.
program. So Anne
Mueller.
Mueller, excuse
mm-hmm.
me.
That's quite right.
I had admired from the stage when
mm-hmm.
she was a principal at Oregon Valley Theater. I had also stayed in touch with her when she was executive director of Bag and Baggage. And I had met her on the street when my husband and I were going to a performance of theirs. And she said, Nancy, I'd love to guest teach for you sometime. And I thought, wonderful. So I took her up on it. And the guest teaching led to setting a piece because she loves to choreograph. She's a wonderful choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Christopher Stoll had given her some opportunities to choreograph on School of Oregon Valley Theater.
Right. And well, that's a piece we worked on together actually also.
Her coming in.
She is a magnificent human being and dancer and
well,
choreographer. Yeah.
The chemistry was such
mm-hmm.
that we just really hit it off. And so she choreographed a piece on our dancers and I would assist her in rehearsal. And one thing led to another. And, you know, she popped the question that she would like to be more involved. And the timing was perfect because I think we were in the midst of our expansion.
Mm.
And we thought, let's delve into this further. And yeah, with that really wonderful chemistry and the way it happened so serendipitously, we decided to be able to do more and to have a career track program for someone like Lauren and Henry, who also went with us to Santo Domingo. These dancers need more hours, and to make them higher ready, we need to have a professional division. We called it the career track, just so it was something different, and I put Anne in place to be the director of that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, she's able to do more choreography. These dancers are able to do not only performances with our youth company that does the Enchanted Toy Shop, but their own performances.
That's so key because you're enabling them to be mentors
yes.
and then also to be mentored.
Right.
That's a great opportunity
and
for
so,
any artist
yeah.
in any genre, really.
And then, too, I mean, Jim and I, we wear a lot of different hats. She's made it so that our loads are a little bit less. And, like, I'm able to focus on the academy a little bit more. And I'm pulling away, not totally, but pulling away in baby steps from the, like, the spring concert that we do typically in May, and the staging of ballets and whatnot, so I'm focused more on the school.
So the school is your love in the whole mix of things at this time?
Well, I feel, I performed for so many years, and I'm so passionate about performing, and love coaching
mm-hmm.
and staging ballets. I don't particularly love to choreograph,
mm-hmm.
and I'm okay with saying that. We've got Anne, who really loves to, and John Clifford, who we bring up, and other people that we bring into the school to set things. The school is important. We can't have those performances. We can't put on those ballets if we don't have good training
mm-hmm.
at the academy. So for me to, hover over the curriculum and the syllabus and watch classes that other teachers are teaching is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my first love? I feel like I love it all. But I just, I have to kind of look at what will be best for me down the road.
I know
and
we're going to talk about
more autonomy.
Right, right. And she's
yes.
just so wonderful. I know we're going to talk about the trip coming up, but I just have a curious question that I love to ask people, and that is, what out of your genre, out of dance, forgetting about dance right now, has been a recent adventure in the arts world or adventure in Artslandia that you've taken that is kind of sparked your artistic appetite, whether it's a piece of visual art, a play, an opera, some musician that you're really drawn to? Lauren, do you have something in mind that you might want to share?
Let's see.
How do you fill up your artistic bucket, you know? Like, I know you probably choreographed and you've got music people choose for you, but if you were to go home and, you know, I think of all the movies where there's been a ballet dancer who all of a sudden gets, you know, goes in their own room and they put on their own music, what would you dance to? Do you have any CDs in your CD player, or do you even have a CD player? That's dating me, right? Do you have MP3 player?
Sometimes, as an example, recently we watched kind of that new movie, La La Land or whatever, and I was just, all the music in that is so much fun, so.
Did that inspire
just, like, seeing,
you?
Just seeing, like, I don't know, other artists doing, like, singing and dancing combined, and, like, all of it was just really fun to watch. So.
Did it make you want to dance on the top of a car?
A little bit.
Yeah, it made me want to dance on top of a car, and I'm not even a dancer. People would want to watch you dancing on top of a car. How about you, Nancy?
I love art. Mm-hmm. I love going to an art museum.
Me too.
And that will trigger a lot of, that'll get my artistic appetite going for sure. Mm. I love Degas. Mm. Any chance I can see Degas. I love the Impressionists. Sometimes music inspires me, you know, usually it's classical. I love to hear an old Beatles tune, of course, but I love the arts in general. I love gardening. I find gardening artistic, so getting out of my normal genre, those other things. I saw La La Land, loved it. I, you know, grew up in Southern California, so I can so appreciate the traffic. Mm. So, yeah, seeing a musical, a current musical or an old musical will get me all excited. And I know this is off track a little bit, but for me to stage a ballet like I'm doing right now, a ballet that I danced, rework it a little bit, and I'm setting it on the career track dancers, it brings back a lot of wonderful stuff for me. The coaching that was involved from my mentor, the choreographer, and then me passing it on. Mm. So
it's those relationships. Yeah, it keeps coming back to me no matter who I talk to about the special type of relationships that artists have with each other and the courage and risk-taking it requires to share a dance with someone or share something. It's pretty intimate, and I'm sure various parts of it have wonderful memories and others complicated and difficult, and the ability to share those types of really authentic parts of the work that you do, it's an incredible gift. And I know I like to share with the listeners, you know, that the artists who you're watching, if you aren't a maker of art, this is the kind of thing that they do. They communicate, they have open conversations, you know, in a healthy relationship of making art, and it's exciting to talk about it because I think it's something that's important for people to think about going forward with the political climate as it is, and in the hope of inclusion and diversity and compassion, and it's great. So in that, actually, it's a perfect segue into the trip because, you know, you went somewhere unique and you got to share your art. What was that like for you, Lauren? I know, you know, we talked earlier about how unique it was for you to go on a big trip like this.
Yeah.
Was it your first trip like this?
Related to dance, I've never done a big trip like this in my life. And I never imagined that I would be getting to do something like this. So when I heard about it, I was, like, just completely ecstatic about it. And the whole experience was so much fun. I don't think there was any part that I didn't enjoy. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Maybe the sunburn?
You got a sun... Did you say sunburn? Wow, don't make everyone that jealous. I want to be a ballet dancer so I can get a sunburn. So tell us a little bit about the trip and why you went and what it was like.
This was a year in the making, at least. Carlos Vetia, I want to make sure I pronounce his name correctly. It's such a beautiful name. Mm. And I was saying, when I first met him, Vetia is how you pronounce it. But when I met him in 2015, I met him via an email. He was coming to Portland. He has a niece who goes to Lewis and Clark. And he wanted to check out our classes, meet the staff, watch rehearsals if they were in session. So I said, yes, I mean, we always love to. It's a small, very close world, the ballet world, one big family, very tightly knit. And so I thought, yes, so we opened our doors to him, and he even mentioned that to Lauren and Henry, that that was kind of a trigger for him in having us come to Santo Domingo and guest. The hospitality he received from us was particularly inspiring to him, and it meant a lot. But anyway, he watched me teach in the spring of 2015, watched rehearsals, watched Anne, met her, watched her in rehearsal, and we almost said the simultaneously, we should do some kind of cultural exchange. I mean, I will admit to you, love going someplace where the weather is warm.
Me too. Me too.
So December, Santo Domingo in December, the Dominican Republic.
Sign me up.
But anyway, we thought, yes, let's stay in touch. Let's try to make something happen. So 6 months or so went by, and then it was January of 2016. I thought, you know, I haven't heard from Carlos in a while. Send him an email and wished him a happy new year. And he said, you know, I've been thinking about this cultural exchange. I know you do not do at the Portland Ballet Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
You do the Enchanted Toy Shop or other things. Anne has choreographed a couple of works, and we try to rotate our productions a bit. But anyway, we are free in December and don't do Nutcracker. So he said, I am doing a new production, new sets and costumes. How about if you bring a couple of dancers and set Arabian Pas de Deux or Marsipan, whichever you prefer, and then we'll insert it into our production.
Oh.
And when I heard this, you know, in the winter, right? And I'm like, yippee, yes, we'll make it work. But, you know, I mean, it was a lot of work on both of our parts and, you know, getting down to those details, passport numbers and date of birth and, you know, availability and costume measurements.
Trips and rehearsal spaces.
Whoa, and also having to sync up. He sent me video footage of his apotheosis at the end of Nutcracker Michael and Lauren. We have a daughter, her name is Lauren, she's a professional dancer,
mm-hmm.
and her boyfriend's name is Michael, so that's why I said Michael. Michael and Henry.
No, Henry and Lauren. But Michael and Henry would make a great team too, I know they would, I just can tell.
I'm usually not this ditzy.
No, I can't believe I actually followed it, I'm so happy, that's fantastic.
Lauren and Henry.
And P.S., I would not characterize you as ditzy.
Okay.
Zero with
all
that.
Right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Anyway, we had to get costume measurements for them, and I guess they somehow didn't get the leg measurements for Henry, so we had to do a quick redo when we got to Santo Domingo 2 days before the production opens. But lots of labor of love, though, but lots of work on both ends.
Mm.
But the goal was to have them perform as guests. And it was actually alongside the Ballet Nacional Dominicano, the professional company. Carlos brought them in. Carlos has a school, the Ballet Concierto Dominicano. He also calls it the Academy Concierto Dominicano, the academy arm, obviously. The performing arm is Ballet Concierto Dominicano. He used to be the director of the professional company. So anyway, for this production, that was... Talk about being stretched and wearing a lot of different hats. He realized that he had to focus on the school and his youth company. Anyway, he brought 16 dancers from the professional company in to do a brand new snow sequence. It was really fascinating. And then you two. And then there's a sister school. It's called the Ballet Studio is the name of the studio.
Mm-hmm.
They did the Marsipan, so they were guests. So there were three different guests involved in this production. And it was
a real collage.
It really was. It was interesting how it all came together. And like I said, last minute costume fittings and everything. But we got there. The performances were... the 16th, 17th, and 18th of December, and we got there maybe a day or two before, so then Henry and Lauren could do their costume fittings, and we could get acclimated,
get
in
the space.
But the theater, the National Theater, was magnificent. I think the seating capacity is about 3,000
mm-hmm.
seats, And the dancers did two technical rehearsals, one dress rehearsal, and then boom, 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 the performances. And we were shuttled back and forth from our Holiday Inn, not far from the theater, but it seemed like it was endless because the traffic is so congested there. But we had a chauffeur, I mean, we were so well taken care of. And the dancers got used to per diem, having per diem, and we had to work in Dominican pesos.
So
and
how
we had to deal with a language barrier?
Right. Did you have a someone who helped you with the language, or
our the person who would drive us? He was really helpful, like trying to like, you know, he didn't necessarily like, speak super well with English, but he would always try and like help. And
did he send you to any good restaurants and?
He tried to recommend some places, mm-hmm. and sometimes we ended up on our own and trying to figure out things. But
there was a lot of sign language, mm-hmm. and then we pulled up Translate. You know,
right, Google Translate.
Google Translate, yeah.
That helps a lot.
That helped a lot, and he was so sweet to us, we wanted to let him know. I think you wrote something out for him. But Carlos mm-hmm. was quite the host. I really felt like he went... way overboard to take good care of us, and he would often take us out to dinner after the rehearsals. And you know, for them in that part of the world, you know, they don't do a siesta, he told me, in the middle of the day, but they have dinner late.
Right.
Yeah, they definitely have dinner later. So for us to go to bed at 2 a.m. in the morning was not a big deal for them, but it was really, we were starting to get pretty pooped. But after our long rehearsals, that always for us to take longer than you think, mm-hmm. He would take us out to dinner. So
aww.
He took us to Italian restaurants, sushi restaurants, and I don't feel like we had a lot of native food. We had the plantains, which was fabulous, and some French cuisine, but mm-hmm. yeah, we were just super taken care, really well taken care of. And then at the end, we were treated to, and this is why Lauren got a sunburn. Do you want to tell Susanna where we went at the end?
Oh,
this
yes.
is the icing on the cake after the performances.
Carlos took us to his beach house on the like northern shore of Dominican Republic, and we got to stay in his little beach complex, which was really amazing.
Oh, I bet after all that hard work too. You really, really worked hard and under real professional conditions, arriving, getting right to work, doing a job, and then a little celebration is nice at the end. Yeah.
I think we felt, I know I speak for you and Henry, we felt so appreciated, mm-hmm. and then that feeling of, you know, it being a close-knit family, the ballet world, we just, while they're, geographically we were in a different place, we felt like there were more similarities than differences, mm-hmm. and with some of my students, since teaching was a big part of why I came on this trip, I was able to, you know, just through demonstration, we had that common bond. I mean, they didn't even necessarily understand French, which our terms are in French, but, you know, through demonstration and sign language and somebody else interpreting for them. I know I was correcting a student, and another student said, he doesn't speak a lick of English, and so he translated mm-hmm. Marcos for me. But you made a lot of new friends. Lots of photo ops. We have some great pictures from the trip, but I don't know. I just felt like we were more than welcomed. You know, they just went way overboard.
Like family.
Yeah, way overboard to make us feel appreciated, welcomed, and I have to say the dancers really added a lot of class to the production. They mm-hmm. looked pretty remarkable.
Are you planning any future
yes,
partnerships?
That's what I'm excited to tell you about. Mm-hmm. In 2018, I want to get Ann Mueller more involved this time. So it's a real cultural exchange, and we all work with different people. We're hoping to bring Carlos to Portland in conjunction with the Career Track performances we do, and they're in-house. It'll be June 2018. He's either going to set a piece that he's already choreographed and teach, or just teach. We have, you know, we have time to work out the logistics, but he is so excited at the prospect of coming mm-hmm. to Portland. And then looking further down the road, you know, if this is something we can do every other year, perhaps at some point I can stage the Enchanted Toy Shop, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It means a lot to me. Like, I feel more now than ever, we all need to stick together and The arts are so important in our lives.
Well, I think, again, it's
this
that...
This culture exchange, the timing is impeccable.
It is, and just the openness and desire to be in communication with people from other cultures, sharing those cultures, sharing love and appreciation of hard work and risk-taking, and it's all the beautiful characteristics of what I hope for every human being to experience in any work setting. So by what you're doing just really is a beautiful springboard for everybody.
Yeah, I really felt passionate about it. Mm. And these two dancers, you and Henry, Lauren, were so appreciative. And, you know, that's what it was about for me. You know, feeling like all of our work in getting this in place was not in vain. You know, just
what an incredible experience.
Very special.
Is there somewhere online where people can look at photographs of the trip?
Yes.
Is it on your website?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
I wondered about that.
And we hope to be sharing more and more. I know at some point Carlos is going to give us a video of the performance.
Oh, great.
And we can show the clip of other dancers as well as Henry and Lauren in the Arabian pas de deux, but we do have some still photographs.
Oh, great.
And
we can put,
backstage.
Maybe, we can possibly put some of those on the website with the podcast, but I know we'll take a picture of the three of us, and I know that will go too, so we'll come up with something good to put up there. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing the trip with us.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, it sounds incredible, and I hope that everybody who's listening, who, if you haven't seen something at the Portland Ballet, get online, see what they offer, go out there and check out the community and visit one of the local businesses and see how the arts and local businesses, you know, share and do good work for each other. It's really wonderful.
Can I share one last thing?
Absolutely, yes.
This is coming up in March.
Absolutely.
To plug these subs that we call the Career Track Dancers Performances Studio Performances. The Studio Company Performances. So you're the studio company. And we just finally decided that's what the name's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was hesitating a little bit. So the Studio Company Performances are March 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Oh,
we do them in-house. We can create in our biggest studio a black box theater.
Oh, wonderful.
We set up bleachers. And, so you will see some a revival of Ann Mueller's Heartaches, Jamie Hampton and Ashley Rowland's Riptide, staged by one of our teachers, Zachary Carroll, who was a dancer with Body Box. I am doing a restaging of John Clifford's Concerto in F. Lauren is one of the leads. And then we are doing the Patois from the Valladares Shades section. So
beautiful.
It's going to be wonderful, and it features exclusively our Career Track dancers, but then Kukatonin, a group that Anne has reached out to. It's part of our outreach program. African dancing is what they specialize in, and we're going to be bringing some of those dancers to our studio to be part of the performance, as well as a couple of drummers.
Oh, fantastic.
So
that
we have a
wonderful
teacher that goes to their site to teach these young people that normally wouldn't be able to afford ballet classes. Have ballet classes.
Oh, that's great.
So
I show up on the website, and I bet you can find a way to donate to encourage that type of work.
Absolutely.
To give young people the opportunity.
Anne is very passionate about that connection, as she should be.
Yes, we are all looking at giving that kind of opportunity to anyone who wants it. So thanks again for everything you're doing in the community, and thanks for your incredible work, Lauren. Look forward to seeing you
Thank you.
On stage.